This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا إنك سميع مجيب الدعاء اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. It's a good feeling to be back home, as you always call this, BRRC. I was told from day one, you always greet people by saying, welcome home. So it's definitely feel home, walillah alhamd. This is going to be our last meeting till throughout the whole summer. So basically, I was asked, based upon your request, to talk again about Gaza, because I was told the last time I shared with you, the time was short. So I'll share with you again, especially with everything is happening. I will start by saying this. It's now, today is the 7/16. It's absolutely about 6 weeks since we landed back. We landed back on April 11th. Life can never be the same. Subhanallah. You go back to your routine, you go back to your usual, but there's something changed. And this is, I wish, and I have said this so many places, I wish I can take everybody, especially our youth, and take them with me to live this 8 days that I lived there. And I'm not going to talk about the casualties and what we saw from the medical field. What really impacted me is what I saw from the human side. And Gaza taught me many things, and I will share it with everybody. And I am sure if any one of us here in this room went, you will probably feel the same way. Gaza teaches you from looking around you where how the people are living, reacting, that we human beings, in general, we use maybe 10 to 20% of our potentials. We say, I can't. And if you look at your vocabulary, this, especially the young, they're going to say, I can't, this is too much, I can't do that. Gaza teaches you, yes, we can. They are extreme. I'll give you an example. One of the few people I spend more time than the other that really impacted me was that resident, the orthopedic resident, who showed us a video of how he, from basic things, I just can't remember the details now, he made a kind of a wounded dressing, because you don't have it there. So the first thing, again, what I saw, what do we learn? When you tell yourself, even now, when I see something difficult, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decided, I am with you, because last night, the airline, I'm not going to say the name, at 11 o'clock p.m., I'm coming to check in, and they suddenly changed my plane to 4 p.m. And I had so many things I had to do. 4 p.m., 4:40, I come here barely by Maghrib. So if anything changed, I'm not going to be here. Normally, our normal reaction, we get upset, we get frustrated. Why didn't they tell me, right? Look at me. And even I was packed ready, because normally I pray Fajr and I leave and come to you. Subhanallah, the first thing in me says, Qaddar Allah ma sha'a fa'al. Literally. I said, Allah doesn't want me to go this time. I texted the outreach coordinator, and I said, this is what happened. I don't know what happened, but when I come to check in, they are putting me on the later flight. If you can call them and text the VRIC, tell them this is what happened. At all, nothing. No frustration. Because any time something happens that is out of the comfort that we are all used to, their faces come to me. And the scene in that hospital comes to me. And what are you complaining about? This is how I say to myself. For us all, this should be the same, because you are seeing, I saw it live, you are seeing it and still seeing it. There has to be changes for us as a human being, by the way. Gaza changed humanity. It didn't change only Muslim. It changed people. I mean, I'm sure you've been here to all these encampments. Last Thursday, I was in UCI. 60% of the people that were listening to the talk with them were non-Muslims. So the first thing I remember when I was seeing is within 8 days how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can change the human being, and subtle changes, and it's when an incident comes in, you see it. I still remember the day or that before I went, I wanted to go. Nobody called me. I begged people to take me. And every application I filled, I didn't get an answer since February. No answer. And then I was in Mecca, walillahi alhamd, it was Ramadan. And I kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this Ramadan is different. And I'll say this with everyone, even those online. When I used to look at the Kaaba, and this is Ramadan, and the haram is packed, packed. This was one of the busiest years. And you look and you say, all these people, all of us, couldn't do anything, couldn't stop. And I was like, Ya Rabbi, how many people are making dua, and how many people are begging you? But there has to be a reason that you are not answering it the way we want in this time. And I kept saying, this Ramadan is very different. And subhanAllah, to get the story short, Allah opened my eyes to someone I knew. Actually, I didn't know, but it was on the group of the Muslim physicians that she went to Gaza in February. And something in me says, call her. I don't know the woman. I just texted her. And then she responded right away. Says, the Haifa Yunus, and I normally don't like that. Honestly, I don't. I mean, we're all human beings at the end. We're all under the ground. But at that moment, because I really wanted to go, I said, yes, the Haifa Yunus. And then she said, you want to go? Okay, but we can't now. The next group leaving on April 1st is already full because they take very limited number for many reasons. But I can take, but the group leaving on the 15th of April, we can add you. And I said, I can't. SubhanAllah, everything has a reason. And I said, I can't because this is my only vacation. When 15, I have to be back to work and I have programs. In fact, I was coming to you the last time when I came. This was Sunday. She said, okay, let me see what I can do. I have to take the approval from the United Nations to add one person. Then we have to clear you through the WHO. Then we have to clear you through the Egyptian government and the other governments. And this less than a week. And then she said, wait till I tell you to buy your ticket. So now we are Wednesday. The group leaving. Sunday, everybody has to be in Egypt. And Wednesday, she texted me and says, buy your ticket, but that doesn't mean you're going. I said, what does that mean? She said, get ready. You may get to Egypt and they will send you back. You may get to Rafah, the Egyptian, they will send you back. You may get to the Palestinian one, they get you back. Are you ready to go through this? I said, I'll go. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I didn't, Allah will reward me. We get to Egypt and everybody was telling, be careful, whatever. Alhamdulillah, it was very smooth. The next day was the challenge. This is Ramadan, of course. We're all fasting. Walillahi alhamd. When we went to the UN and we had this meeting, this debriefing, preparing everybody, all the meeting was, you're going to a war zone. You're going to a war zone. You need to be very careful. They put the whole map in front of us. Don't you go there. Don't you go there. Don't leave in the night. I mean, everything is very scary. They really wanted us to take it very seriously, you know, because we're coming from the West. And yeah, they said, and I remember they were telling, there's a mosque across from the hospital. You are not going to go in the night. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, came out. You know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a sakina inside you? Everything you hear is scary, but you are absolutely fine. Subhanallah. Next morning, we left at 4 a.m. from the hotel. We had to go to another, we are in Egypt still, in Cairo. We had to go to another place about 30 minutes, again with the UN. They cleared everybody, checked your passport. You are now ready, back to the hotel. And then at 7 o'clock, the journey starts. It took us 10 hours to get to the Rafah, the Egyptian, many checkpoints. But alhamdulillah, I mean, we didn't go through a lot of difficulty, but you stop and then we get to Rafah, the Egyptian. Again, maybe an hour, you get your luggage and everything. Then we get, that's the most beautiful. I'm going to share with you the most beautiful and the most painful. The most beautiful is after you get to the Rafah, the Palestinian. So the Rafah, Egyptian, there is a big wall, gate, the gate open. We are here with Egyptian drivers. They can't get in. We all get out, and there is a Palestinian drivers. You get into the Palestinian bus, less than 4 minutes. You are in the now Palestinian, because it is under Palestinian authority. And now here you are the Palestinian border. So you get in there. They said, wait. We'll take care of your passports. We prayed Dhuhr and Asr, alhamdulillah. Then you come out. Once you come out, because they said, wait outside, your luggage will come in. So you come out, you look at the left, and you see this famous Gaza sign. It's, I love Gaza in red, that they destroyed it now. You probably all have seen where the tank came in deliberately, because it's a symbol. So when you come out, like now when you come in, you see Valley Ranch Islamic Center, right? You see it. That is not on any building. It is actually on the grass, but it's done beautifully, and it is red, and it says behind it like a heart, I love Gaza. So you look, everybody take pictures there, because it's beautiful, it's a symbol. And we were there for about 3 hours. We didn't feel it. SubhanAllah. Really, we didn't feel it. And it was the last hours of the day when we were fasting. But it was an amazing joy. It's something very happy when it's a place you always wanted to go, you always wanted to see, and people are everything you hear. And then finally, you're there. We broke the fast in there, actually. And this was late, because they told us you have to be in the hospital before sunset. But Allah didn't want. We were the last group, the five of us, in that car. They loaded all our luggage into to an ambulance, and we were in the car. The drive, and in the border, they decide some will go to Rafah, and they decide us, we are going into the middle of Gaza, Deir Balah. The drive to Deir Balah is usually less than 20 minutes. I mean, it's a very, I can't remember exactly the miles or the kilos, but it was the most scary moments of my life. I swear by Allah, I thought we were dead. I told the group, let's say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So if we die, we die ala tawheed. Why is that? Number one, it was extremely dark. There is no electricity in the city, and still there isn't. So it was extremely dark, and it was quiet but not serene. Quiet but scary. Scary. And the road was so uneven. It's not the main road. The main road is Salah al-Din. It was already taken. We can't go there. So we had to go through very close to the sea. And the driver, of course, very experienced one, but he takes us. Literally, 2 seconds you're in the right, 2 seconds you're in the left, and there is no road. It's just very bumpy. And the only thing you see is what the car lights is showing you. And there was a feeling in there. But look what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us. After everybody felt everybody is scared, you can feel it. But nobody is saying a word, because you need strength, I need strength. I'm not going to tell you I'm scared, because you're scared more than me. So when nobody is saying anything, it is. The only thing I remember, I said to the group in the car, let's say dua al-safar, right? Subhana alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrabin. And I said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna muhammadan rasulullah. And we were driving. Less than 7 minutes after we said all this, everybody in that car was sleeping, including me. Subhanallah. There's a verse in Ali Imran. Allah talked about the people of Badr because they were very scared. And Allah says, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا يَخْشَى طَائِفَةً مِنْكُمْ وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ. Then Allah sent down on a group of you, the believers, أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا. أَمَنَةً نُعَاسًا, it's a small, when you take قَيْلُولَ, when you take a small nap, but the nap, what does it do to you in there? Makes you feel safe. And by Allah, this is what happened to us. The next thing, we are in that hospital. Everybody. We walk, I walk up and I see lights. Wow, because the hospital had lights. So we get into the hospital. We couldn't see much. I mean, it was crowded, but it was dark and we were extremely tired. Plus, we are very stressed. This is really stressed out. Talk about stressed out. And then you start hearing the drones. And everybody tell me, see, do you see them? I was like, no, I don't, but I hear them. You get into the, they took us to the administration. And it is a building, two stories. They took us to the second story. So we come up, they were helping us with the luggage. We come, there's nobody. But it, obviously there is people. And then suddenly, where is everybody? Praying Isha. Then everybody is wearing scrubs. And I was saying, who's the imam? Right? Then, okay, we went behind them and they start praying. Finished Isha, the imam came back. Then somebody from the back come to the front, pray two rukat, finish. This is Taraweeh, it's the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Comes back, another person comes to the front, read, comes back. None of, turned to be, none of these people are but staff. From the CEO of the hospital, to the head of the nursing department, to the head of the OR. You know what's the amazing thing? Everybody was reading Quran beautifully. And they were not reading it continuously like we normally do here. They were actually choosing, they're not too long because of the safety. That's fiqh. That's when people know the fiqh, that you don't prolong your salah when it is a state of fear. But the choice of the verses they choose, each one of them, everything is about be patient. Don't give hope. Allah will give you victory. The wrongdoers, amazing. I mean, the choices, I was like, subhanAllah. We finished, maybe all took less than 45 minutes, including witr. The best witr I've ever heard in my life was in Gaza. And every Ramadan I'm in Mecca. You know why? Because their dua is real. When they made the dua, Ya Allah, irfa' al-ghumma, lift this atrocity on us. They're not saying it like you and me or any other imam. They are seeing it, feeling it, because the person who's saying it probably have lost half of his family, let alone the neighbors, let alone his house. They are through it. They are in it. Finished, they took us to the room of the CEO. This is now 9:30 p.m. Nobody have gone to their houses. Everybody in scrubs, and they say, since October 7, we've been living in this hospital. They said, we just can't go. Maybe some, if they have children, they go for, they said, 1-2 hours maximum, break fast with the family and come back. So they came in very welcoming with minimum. I mean, they get you coffee, small Turkish coffee. This is like just for us. SubhanAllah. And then they said, everybody, we will take you to your room. You need to rest today. I was like, alhamdulillah. And we will send you your iftar. Now remember, this is now 10 p.m. We haven't had anything to eat other than dates at the border. So how hungry we are. It's Ramadan fasting. So they took us to the room. I took pictures, actually. The room, there was nothing in that room, no carpet, other than two mattresses and no pillow, because they told us, bring your pillow with you. And there was only one blanket. Yani every mattress is a blanket. Okay. I mean, again, for us living in this luxury, alhamdulillah, the bathroom. It's beyond. Not because there's no water. So whatever water is there, you use it. And I don't want to be more detailed, but you got the point. Then they brought us the iftar, and we are waiting for the iftar. And the iftar, I showed you the picture last time, was three cans. One was hummus, one was beans, and I didn't know what's the third one. So I didn't open these two because I'm not going to eat all this, and people are dying of hunger. So I opened the hummus. I know what hummus is. And they gave us a bread, piece of bread, because we are the dignitary. They called us al-wafd, one piece of bread. And that day, the piece of bread felt like whatever you wish to eat. My roommate said, I'm too tired. I'm going to sleep, and then I'm going to eat before Fajr. I said, no, I really need something to keep me going. So I just took 3 bites of this food. Taste fine, and taste hummus, and I ate. 2 hours later, till the morning, I was throwing up. Subhanallah. And I said, Ya Allah, they are living on this since October 7. We are here April 1st. So that's 6 months. But they... And I was like, Ya Allah, Rahman al-Dunya wal-Akhirah. Alhamdulillah, they told us, bring with you tissues, paper towel, protein bars. And they really prepped us, walillah alhamd. So next day, the reality hit us. Because up till now, it's night, we didn't see much. You're tired, exhausted, you don't know what is going to happen. That night, there was a lot of bombing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made me sleep. My roommate said, didn't you hear? I said, I didn't. She said, there was a lot of bombing. It turned to be the World Kitchen, the 7 that was they were killed. We arrived the hospital. They took the same route we took. We arrived the hospital 8 p.m. They arrived the hospital 9 p.m. dead. SubhanAllah. The same route. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us life. It was not our day. Although it felt like it. But it was not. So next day they took us, and now you start seeing reality. Think of the parking lot in VRIC as you are coming, right? This is all parking lot. People park, and then in between place you walk. Not in that hospital in Gaza. There was no parking lot. Everything was tents. Tents. The only place you walk... Like if there is 2 cars very close to each other, sometimes you have to say, Salaam alaikum, please excuse me, Salaam alaikum, to move. So they took us, and they took us to the ER. And by the time we are walking, the drones 24-7 on top of your head. So we went to the ER, and what did we see in the ER? I mean, I'm a physician. I've seen people dead. I've seen everything. I mean, you're a physician, you see this. I delivered baby, blood for me is the norm. I mean, this is our work. Come to that ER. To get to the ER, there is no space that is empty. There is beds, patient beds, and there is people, and there is people mourning, and there is people talking, and there is people doing nothing, just sitting. And I was like, what is that, Ya Allah? Then I come to the ER divided into 4 colors, signs. Red, which is the ICU. ICU is in the ER. And then yellow, less acute. Red, yellow, 3 actually. And the green, meaning they are not acute. Those people, literally. So if somebody comes in, let's say with asthma flare-up. And then on the other side, and we witness that. And on the other side, a mother with her 3 daughters that were just bombed. The mother, nothing happened to her. Actually, she has 4 girls. One is dead. The other one was in the operating room. The other one was bleeding from the leg because the sharp nail were in the legs, in the leg one, and the other one was in the hand. That mother, they came to me and says, talk to her. What do you say to this mother? She held me crying, begged me, tell them not to cut my daughter's leg. What do I say? And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, we had Dr. Shabman with us because he was able to save her leg. But the other girl, they couldn't save her arm and they had to amputate. You have to make very tough decisions. So if you are in the ER, that mother with these girls, 11, 12, or 13, and a woman, 70-year-old, with an asthma exacerbation, you know what's the choice? Leave her to die. she lived her life. The norm, take her home. You tell the family, take her home, let her die. We don't have it. They don't have a blood pressure cuff. I don't. And this is April 10. This is before now. I'm sure now is worse. So subhanAllah, the third day I was supposed, because I'm an OBGYN, the building where we stayed is actually the maternity building, which was all the deliveries are there. But since the war, became a trauma center. And all the deliveries were moved to Al Awda Hospital, which is about less than 15 minutes a drive. But they said, you're not going, it's not safe. Because I have to go and come back and go and come back. They said, it's not safe yet. We'll let you know when it is safe. You stay, and if any need in the ER, we'll call you. That was a blessing from Allah. Why? Because I had more time than the others to talk to people. And I speak the language. And that what impacted me more than seeing patients, although seeing patients by itself. So I start talking to people. The first one, and this is what I, alhamdulillah, Allah made me remember. Again, that young orthopedic physician, the first day, second or third day. And I said, how do you feel about this? He's very sophisticated, he speaks very good English. And I said, how do you feel about that? This is 6 months. He's a second year orthopedic physician. He has no future. There is no hospital to do the training. He's there just to do something instead of sitting and doing nothing. You know what quote of the Quran? He looked at me and said it. Unless you really know your Quran, you're not going to make this connection. He said, you know, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. You know this verse? Anybody in this room? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said it in Surah Taha to Sayyidina Musa. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I shaped you, formed you, made you go through things for me. And he said this, if you look at the sequence, when Allah reached this verse, it is when he was telling him, you were young, and your mother, we told your mother, you know, throw him in the sea, an enemy will take him, and then you killed somebody in, yani we made you go through a lot of tests. And then Allah says, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. I made you, I shaped you, I formed you for me. He looked at me and said this. In the middle of the war, in the middle of the drones, this young man, second year physician, there is no more residency program, meaning his future is done. Imagine any one of us in this, parents or students themselves. Somebody tells you next year, your university is closed. We don't know what's going to happen to you. We'll wait and see what will happen to us. Versus this man looks at me and says, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. When he said this to me, and I said, so what he was basically telling me, Allah chose us. They keep saying this word. Allah chose us and Allah prepped us for this. And I was like, how Allah prepared you for this? He said, since 2005, there's a lot of things we don't know what it means. Meaning, Dallas or in California or any place in the United States, summer is coming, you want to go and see your family, right? What is the big deal? If your family in another state, you're going to just book a ticket and go. And if your family is overseas, you're going to book a ticket and go. Not in Gaza. And I said, what does that mean? He said, there's people lives in Gaza and part of their family lives in the West Bank. For those of you, if you don't know the anatomy, so West Bank is close to Jordan, to the east side. And Gaza is close to the west side, is next to the sea. But how much distance between them? And if I remember well, 2 or 3 hours drive to go and see your part of your family. There is in-laws, there is your sister-in-law, or your brother married, or your sister married. Normally that's what we do for the people of Gaza. To go and see their relatives in the West Bank, you know what they have to do? They have to drive all the way the drove we took to Egypt, take a flight, fly to Jordan. From Jordan, you go through the borders again, go through Jerusalem, then go through the big wall that separates Jerusalem from the West Bank, that if they allowed you. They said a day or two journey to see a family, let alone if they want to go and see, if they want to go and pray in the Aqsa, most of them are not allowed. And don't count the checkpoints. So this is their life, not now. This is their life since 2005. وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. And this is something for us to learn. As Sayyidina Umar, or it is also a hadith to Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, اِخْشَوْشِنُوا فَإِنَّ النِّعَمْ لَا تَدُومْ. Train yourself to live not in comfort, because blessings not always stays. Meaning, I'm used to drink cold water. Every now and then, I need to not to drink cold water. Why? There may be a day where I will not find cold water. Let me train myself to not always eat what I want, which is very difficult for us, because everything is available. Because there may be one day that what I want is not available. And that's exactly what the people of Gaza. You see 12 or 13, whether girls or boys, having phones in their hand, walking, or iPad, and they're playing. You know what they played with? They took our gloves, especially the younger. They took our gloves as we were leaving, and they blow it. And when they blow it, becomes balloon, and they start shouting and playing in that small space between people. Literally. Half of them barefoot. They don't have shoes. Not because they are poor, by the way. A good number of them, they were living a very comfortable life in the north. So one of the ones, there was three women, that really impacted me. One of them was the head of the maternity. And she looked absolutely well-dressed, white coat, smiling. And her name is, I can't remember now. I know her name, but they always call people by the mother of, which is a sunnah. They don't call people by their first name at all. Even physicians, they don't call them. It's always the mother of. And I was like, what, day one, day two, day three, and I was like, and Sam, her name. And as a woman, you came to know, and I was like, mashallah, you always look, and she says, we have to live. And we will adapt. And if I'm, at least I feel good, and I make the people around me feel good. Did you see the concept? The concept is very different for us. That was one. This was the least affected, because she lives in the central part, and her house, I don't know now, but her house was still intact. Then I met two women. And the third one is, she had the impact on me. That woman, every time I get into the maternity building, which is the trauma center, literally the door, like you enter, next to that door, there is a mattress. This woman is there. Day in, day out, I go in the morning, I go in the evening, we go to pray, because that was the place they gave us to pray, behind two doors. Finally, tomorrow is Eid, or the day after is Eid, yeah, in 2 days. Somebody gave us the cookies of Eid. They said, this is what we do in Gaza. I was like, subhanAllah. They said, yeah, we had some flour. Okay. So they gave me three. As I was going to pray Taraweeh, the woman was awake, so I gave her one. You also have to be very careful, because these people have dignity. You don't want to make them feel that they are poor, because they are not. They have a lot of dignity in them. So I said, Khala, do you like some? And he said, sure, in Arabic. So I was like, Alhamdulillah. So I talked with her. She's been in this mattress. I have a picture, actually. I think I put it on the internet. I took her permission. Since December. I talked to her April. That mattress, she and her daughter, one mattress. Don't ask me how they sleep. I don't know, but they do. And I said, which bathroom? She said, with the patient. We, as physicians, we had one bathroom, all the physicians in the hospital, all the staff, And they gave us a key. We were about 30 people using one bathroom. One bathroom. Imagine the others. So I said, what is the story? She said, we were living in the north. They told us move to the south. We came in here. My husband and her and his and my son stayed. Allah knows where are they. And we are here, waiting. نَنْتَظْرُ فَرَجُ اللَّهِ. We're waiting for Allah's victory, and Allah will make things easy. But she wasn't complaining, but you can see she's not happy, of course. So that's one. The second woman, this was amazing. Outside the hospital, day 6 or 7, they allowed us to walk a little bit outside the hospital, and one person from the hospital came with us, and he said, do you want to see more people? I said, yes, please. He said, okay, we're going to walk a little bit less than 1 minute. We walked and we entered, and there was an empty space full of tents. And those all the people that came later on from the north. And he said, let's come and sit here, and we'll get you some people so you hear their stories. And this woman came in with her 11-year-old boy. She entered, very dignified woman, dressed this usual picture you see online, which is basically the garment for Salah. And she told us her story, very eloquent Arabic. And she said, we used to live in the north in a one neighborhood, which is a very good neighborhood. And they told us move. They usually give them, they either give, they throw notes or they say it in Arabic. And she said, we moved to another area. Then they said, move. We moved to another area, which is very close to the Shifa Hospital. And I said, where did you stay? She said, I stayed in a home of a Christian man who went and stayed in the church. And he said, you come and live in my house. I said, subhanAllah. I said, yeah, me, my husband, my son, my daughter. This is before Ramadan. And I said, what did you eat? She said, we found a one bag of sugar and one or two bottles of water. She stayed, I think, 2 weeks, she said, in that house. And she said, when my children say, I'm hungry, literally, this is how she said in her hand, we give them that much of sugar. Then they attacked the Shifa Hospital. And she said, we start hearing the bombing around the house. Then a bomb came through the house. And she said, I don't know how we survived, and all the windows. And then we start hearing them coming. And they came, the soldiers. So they entered. They put my husband and my son on one side, the older son, myself, daughter, and the younger son on another side. They made the husband and the son, so they can, and I can't say this because it is in public, but you know what I meant, in front of everybody, because they wanted to search them. Then they took the father and the son out, and they told her in Arabic, Imshi Ruhi, go. She said, where do I go? She says, go ala al-bahar. Go walk beside the sea. If the sea is on your right hand, then you're going south. If the sea on your left hand, you're going north. She said, I took, and she kept telling them, why you're doing this to us? We are civilians. She's extremely eloquent. We are civilians. We are not Hamas. We are not Fatah. We are civilians. Why you are doing? You told us move. You told us move. And I said, you said this to the soldiers? I said, yeah. You and me will be scared to death because they can kill you any minute. With your son with you. I said, I took my son. The son was barefoot. Myself wearing, she showed me, that's what I was wearing, and my daughter. And we start walking. It's about, I think if I remember well, 12 kilometers from where she is till where she ended. It says, in the middle of the street, it was very cold, December, was very cold, we're very hungry. And the son looked at her and says, I can't do this anymore, I'm extremely hungry. She said, I looked up and I see a soldier, soldiers. She told her son, stay. She went up to them. When she was saying this story to me, you know when you see movies And I was like, weren't you scared? She says, my son is hungry. I need food. She went up. The soldier was there. She said, look, he's very hungry. Do you have any food? The soldier gave her, she said, like that. She said something covered like a, you know, piece of cake and it's covered. That's what they gave her. So she told her son, come, take the food. The son comes up. You know what the son did? There was a tank, and the tank was opened. The son jumped on the tank to see what is inside the tank. 11-year-old. When he jumped to see the two soldiers in the tank, got scared and moved back from an 11-year-old. And I looked at him and I said, aren't you scared? Literally, you know what he said? No, they are scared of us. I was like, what kind of blood you guys have? I didn't say it, but I was thinking in my mind. And then she said, we walked and we reached here. And I'm giving you the literally the summary. This was a 30-minute talk with this woman because she was amazing. And I said, isn't that too difficult? How did you do it? Literally, I looked at her and said, teach me. How did you do it? She said, this is the lesson to all of us. She said, we lived, and I raised my children on two things. Subhanallah. And this is way before the war. I said, what are they? They said, number one, you live in this life and you eat halal. Number two, this life is temporary. We are here not to live. We are here to do a duty and we will go. Teaching her children. She's not 40 years old. Then she looked at me. Literally, she was sitting there. I was here. She looked at me and she started reading Surah Al-Waqi'ah, the last part of Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Then she looked at me in the eyes and says, I see Quran in your face. I'll see you in Jannah. I was speechless. What am I going to say to this woman? I came to give her strength, right? Who gave strength to whom? Who taught whom? What am I going to tell her? Right? And then she said, Allah chose this for us. Every word she was saying, it's a word of strength. No complaint, no emotions, emotional or crying. She's saying it with pain, but she's saying it with dignity. And you feel it. And then she looked at me and said, see this? We sleep with it. And what I thought, because they don't have anything else. Immediately she read my mind. She said, because in case I die covered. Subhanallah. Who thinks of this? Who thinks of that? And then I looked at the boy, and in Gaza you don't ask people, have you memorized Quran? It's an insult, because everybody knows Quran. You usually, children say, how much of the Quran you have? And if it is five or six, for us, five or six, for them, yani they are shy to tell you. Literally, he said, just five. I said, just five. Five, you're living in a whole war, 6 months, nothing. And then he recited, and I again put it on social media, and if any of you, he recited Al-Fatiha. They recite beautifully. They know the meaning, their voice. They say it. Subhanallah. Then we went out, and it was just before, maybe another hour, and Maghrib will be. It's all Ramadan. And they showed us what they feed them. And this was all donations. It's called Mujaddara, for those of you from the Arab world, which is basically a combination of every beans and everything that has protein but is not a protein. And the way they serve is a huge pot and a plate, and everybody brings whatever they have. And the man, a younger man, puts with the plate in that pot. So then I saw an older gentleman, old, I think he's at least late 70s. And then I videotape, you have to ask their permission. And he looked at me and says, Sawari, Sawari, take a video, what is it? Alhamdulillah, we have food. And if you see the pot, you will not be able to eat. Let alone, it's okay, do it. Subhanallah. Then the last 4 days of the last, and I will probably finish a little bit early in case some of you have questions. The last 4 or 5 days, we had, alhamdulillah, there was a place for all of us to pray tahajjud, yani tarawih and tahajjud. So we came down, we are on the second floor, it wasn't the first floor. We didn't know who's the imam. We were praying behind. The imam read beautifully, hafiz, amazing. He made a small mistake. You know the small mistake? It was, so he read it sawfa, here it is sa. I didn't say anything because I said maybe I'm wrong. So I went back and I checked, and no, it was sa. Next day, and I looked and I said, Abdullah, last year, he said, yeah, I made the mistake. It was C, not sofa. And I was like, okay, I think I'm dealing with another level. Then the day we were leaving, oh, before that, third day, Abdullah is reading. We are enjoying, literally, if you ask me, the best tarawih, the best tahajjud I prayed was in Gaza, let alone the day of Eid. That day, I think he prayed 4, and then we were in the back next to the door. A young boy comes in. I shouldn't say boy, because he's a man, right? Very thin. Everybody is very skinny, right? He comes in. Allahu Akbar, gets with the man. You're talking about 2 a.m. Finished, okay. Finished. He moves, finished the 2 rak'at. He moves to the imam. I don't know what he talked with the imam. The imam went back, and this boy is leading us. Reading, beauty. Finished, sat, turned, like when the imam turned to you, turned to all of us. All of us are older, all of us are, you know? And he looked at us and he started singing a nasheed about Palestine. Made everybody, you can imagine the mood in that room. And he is reading it with not a single tear. What is his story? You probably have seen him. Is that the boy who was, they were putting cast on his hand and he was reading Quran? Was that boy? What was his story? All the family was in a building. The people of Gaza live in buildings. Yani one building, the family owns it. So every level, one part of the family could be parents and siblings, could be parents and then uncle and aunts. So he was living in that building, which all the family. That building was bombed, right? And everybody was dead, except 3. So when they came to save them, they saved his cousin and his cousin. They missed him. He stayed 3 hours under the rubble. Okay, that's not the reason I'm sharing the story. What was he carrying in his hand? His 5-year-old cousin, dead for 3 hours. Then that cousin who survived, when he went to the ER, he said, oh, my other cousin is still alive. They went back and took him out. Nobody in his family is alive, this boy. They showed me the 300 names at least. They had a list of orphans. They divide them. Subhanallah. The first one is the worst, where is injured. No family survived, no parents. So this boy or a girl is alone in this life. Second group is parents died, but there is family. So uncle, aunt. Another are one parent is dead. Mother, usually they put father first, or mother. That boy, none. Had nobody. Nobody, even extended family. The last day as we were leaving, which was the most painful day, there was a boy who I always saw wearing scrubs, 8 years of age. 8 years of age, scrubs is so cute on him. Honestly, I don't know who, it's his size, a little bit big, but it is his size. And he was wearing typical surgeon. The scrub is like short sleeves, and under it he was wearing like a T-shirt. It's so much like a surgeon, 8 years of age. And he was pushing patients. Finally, I talked with him. What is his, I can't remember his name. And I said, what are you doing here? You know, I'm teasing him. He said, I'm working. I said, what do you do? the boys speak to you, men, wallahi men. I didn't see a child, I saw men. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm training to become an orthopedic surgeon. And that boy, no family at all. That's why he is in that hospital, so people can take care of. The day before we left, there was a little bit more food. Chicken arrived. We saw chicken. Who cares about chicken here? Oh, when we saw chicken. So the head of the outpatient department insisted to invite us. Invite us where? Invite us to a room, exam room, outpatient exam room, became the house of his family. Four girls, young boy, he and his wife. Seven. They made an amazing iftar. The young boy, who his name is Muhammad, but they call him Abu Mu'adh. So the girls came in and they said it was raining and drones and there was some bombing. So we felt we need to go back because it's getting night. But the girl says, we have to give you a gift. Give me a gift? I need to give them a gift. What is the gift? They went, brought a box of chocolate. I was like, wow, chocolate? They opened the box. It's all beads. And they said, what is your favorite color? We'll make you a bracelet. I said, how are you going to make a bracelet? Wait. They had plastic rubber, you know. They made, don't ask me how. It took a while. So I looked at Muhammad was sitting right there. Muhammad, before that, by the way, Maghrib, he stood up and did, excuse me, he was the imam of everyone. Nobody said to Muhammad, go and do wudu. And then Muhammad tells you, I'm doing wudu for half an hour. You know how we are here. Muhammad came, Allahu Akbar, looks at us, stawu. I was like, stawu. Okay, we will stawu. So Muhammad was sitting there, 11 years, thin, petite. So I was teasing him, Muhammad, come and help them. We need to leave. Looked at me. That's a girl's job. I was like, please forgive me. Subhanallah, wallahi, and so serious. And then in that room, see how they are, yani not only they survive, but they survive with happiness and dignity, if you can even use these words. I looked at the wall, and they have the names of the family. So the name of their father, orthopedic surgeon, head of the outpatient department. The girls, whatever she wants to be, secretary of the clinic. There is no clinic. But she put this, the other one, student in whatever, Muhammad, Abu Mu'adh, the young boy, a doctor Muhammad, orthopedic surgeon. He's 11-year-old, everything is destroyed, but they live with hope. Subhanallah. So next day, that's it. We are supposed to leave. Tuesday, they moved us from Deir al-Balah down to Rafah. They said, because you have to move during the day, and next day in Eid, you will exit. You enter Gaza, of course, when we were, is Monday and Wednesdays only. And you exit Monday and Wednesday only. That's how it is. And once you enter Gaza, you cannot leave when you want. You have to stay for 7 days minimum. And if you want to leave early, you can't unless it is a dire emergency, because you have to take permission from many people. So they said, that's it, you are moving to, it was 12 o'clock, We prayed Dhuhr in Rafah. Everybody was coming to say goodbye to us. We were crying, they were not. We're crying like a baby. You know why? It's a ni'mah, but you always ask yourself, why me? When we were in that car, we came, they load our stuff. We came into that car, everybody was dignified, amazing human beings, definitely better than me. But I was able to leave, and they are not. And we start crying like a baby, all of us, including the physicians with us, including the men. It was very painful, literally as if you left. You know when you say goodbye to somebody so close to you, and you don't know when you will see them again? Although they kept saying, you're going to come back and we will invite you to our homes after victory. That's the same word. They keep saying it. So one of the people who were saying goodbye to us was the Imam Abdullah, the one who I wanted to correct. He already know the mistake. So the last day, I was like, MashaAllah, Ya Abdullah, may Allah reward you. You really made me enjoy this beautiful Taraweeh, your voice. For I said, MashaAllah, you're a hafiz, Ya Abdullah. He looked at me and says, no, I am not a hafiz. I said, I'm sure he's a hafiz, because he reads amazing. And he said, no, I am min ahl al-safwa. I am from the chosen people. And I said, what does that mean? He said, in Gaza. And this is the beauty. They have a dignity and they are proud without arrogance when they say Al-Ghazza. They say it in a way. So the people of Gaza, the Huffaz in Gaza, there's two kinds. I was like, okay, teach me, what is that? That's new to me. And he said, when you finish your Hifz and you master your Hifz, your teacher will tell you, you're going to go to that place and you're going to recite the whole Quran to another teacher in one setting. Ghaib, not reading, recite. And I said, how long this will take? He said, usually 8 to 2. Rabbi, 6 hours. But he was saying, but I did it 8 to 4. Oh, I'm sorry, this is too long. And I said, how come? It's because I made a little bit of mistakes. And if I make a mistake, they ask me to review and then come back. That Abdullah, and I thought he was working in the hospital. I didn't know till the last day. That Abdullah lost all his family, and he is also, they call him displaced, from the north, living in this hospital. Every single day, that young man, 23, stand up, Taraweeh, about an hour, Tahajjud, 2.5 hours. We start 12:30, one day 12:15, 12:30, and we finish minimum 3 or 3:30 with an amazing dua. So we left now Rafah, and then we left Deir al-Balah. They took us to the European hospital where now they are. They said this day, tomorrow was Eid, right? Yani, how can you celebrate Eid? Half of the children running around are orphans. Half of those were barefoot, no new clothes. Allah knows when was the last time this was washed, let alone when they took a shower. The morning of the Eid, they said there is a masjid across. They said, don't go, because masajid is one of the places that are targeted. And all of us said, no, we're going to go. And if Allah wants us to die, we will die. The best Eid salah I've ever done. The masjid is old. Half of the windows in the masjid are already bombed. But the imam stood up. He was maybe in his 50s. An amazing khutbah, giving strength to people. I don't know where he get the strength to give strength to people. And all the girls, subhanAllah, I have pictures so much like you. But Allah knows if they even have parents. They all covered. The girls are all covered. And we left the street full of mud and full of trash. There is no service. All the trash is on the streets. SubhanAllah. And as we left the European and we went to the border, literally by Allah, and Allah is my witness, you did not come back the same as you entered. Something in me is different and stayed there. SubhanAllah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I really mean this for everybody. Don't get numb. Don't say it's been 7 months. If we get numb, how are they? They didn't get tired. Why did we get tired? Why did we get tired from dua? Why did we get tired from feeding? Why didn't we get, we shouldn't get tired from, oh, it's water, not cold. Half of it, let's leave it. A lot of lessons from Gaza. And if we did not change, after all what we saw, then I don't know what Allah will send else for us to change. And I don't know if Allah will test us the way He's testing them, how we will react. And last thing I will say, and I don't mean you, but it's a concept we all need to learn. Sometimes when affliction happens to people, it's not because they are the cause. Sometimes it's somebody else. وَاتَّقُوا فِتْنَةً لَا تُصِيبَنَّ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا مِنْكُمْ خَاصَّةً. beware of a trial or temptations or tribulation, that will not affect only those who have done injustice. It may affect everybody. So we really should be a wake-up call for us to be closer to Allah, to be more grateful. Alhamdulillah, we need to live our life. Life continues, but not the same way. Let alone ladham. Let alone, it's not our, it's far away. I don't know where is Gaza. Gaza changed the world, not the Muslims, literally changed the world. That not a single person now, you ask them, non-Muslims, they don't know where is Gaza. Or they don't know the color of the Palestinian flag, not alone Free Palestine, let alone the Kufi. So let us all not forget, keep doing what we can do. And I, even after I came back, and even after everything I saw, I still have the same certainty. They will be victorious. I have no doubt. From what I saw and I talked with, they are different people. They keep telling you, it's our land, we're not leaving. You hear it from this age to the oldest I talked with. It's our land. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everybody. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive our shortcomings. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lift this test on the people of Gaza. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us not the cause, Ya Rabbi Ameen, of the trial of anybody else. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us better people, better Muslims, better and improve all humanity. Because of what we are seeing, innahu sami'un mujibu du'a, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Jazakumullahu khayran. So you have to tell me, when do I need to stop? I think we get ready for Isha, or there is any question? Yes, Lamis, mashallah. I was in Shuhada al-Aqsa. She asked what hospital I was. I was in Shuhada al-Aqsa. It's in the middle of Gaza. It's called Deir al-Balah, exactly in the middle of Gaza. Yes, please. Alaykum salam. Can you speak up? I can't hear you. Monetary wise, to donate? To be honest with you, when I was there, banks were closed. There was, to a certain extent, PayPal, but there was a lot of fees taken. I don't know now, because now there's even no borders. So I don't know how to get there. You may have to check a couple of people where I was told, because this is a very common question I get from people, that they have people operating there, that they can reach to them, don't ask me how, and they give them the help. But from what we saw, whatever we were allowed to enter and allowed to get some cash with us, we actually distributed to people. And it's extremely expensive. Of course, it's war, so you can imagine. Okay, alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khayr.